Matthew chapter 6, we'll start in verse 21. When you find it, please stand in honor of God's word. Matthew, if you can, please. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 21. The Bible says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this passage of Scripture. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you just meet with us this morning. And Heavenly Father, it's your word. And Heavenly Father, you've given me the message. And Heavenly Father, I pray that your will and what's spoken be exactly what you'd have for us. Heavenly Father, only you can meet each need here today. And we pray that you just meet with us once again and we yield ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The title of my message this morning is "Decide This Christmas to Serve God Without Regard for Consequence." The Bible says in verse 25, "Therefore I say, take no thought of your life, nor for your body." And, you know, as I meditated on the Christmas story and Christ's birth, you know, it was amazing the attitude of those that God decided to use in the Christmas story. And, you know, our need is to serve God on this basis, that our minds already be made up. We already know that it pays to serve Him and to put Him first. We'll not worry about bread or meat or about friends or about whether we live or die, but we will serve God without regards to consequences. You know, as I read the Christmas story, you know, and all the each individual person, you know, imagine if one individual in the Christmas story was not willing to be used by God. Imagine if one person decided that they were going to do their own will. And this is why the title of my sermon is "Serving God Without Regard for Consequences." Point number one is count the cost and settle it once and for all. You know, the Savior said in the Scriptures that we are to count the cost. The Bible commands us to sit down and count the cost for serving God. It's like a man who builds a tower. You know, he must first sit down and figure out the cost. You know, when I was in New Jersey, I drove by frequently this one apartment complex. And what it was is these builders and these investors, they didn't count the cost. And so what happens is there was a whole entire complex that was half built and it sat there for many years because at some point in time they ran out of money. And they hadn't planned well enough. And so basically you would drive by this area and there was these giant buildings. The cost would be too great to tear down. And what happened was that they didn't count the cost. It would be like a man who starts a war and didn't figure out how many troops he needed to fight the battle. He didn't know if he needed 10,000 or if he needed 20,000. So go ahead. And basically, and so he goes ahead and he just decides to enter battle without knowing how many troops his foe has, without knowing. Here's the thing, is no general, I believe in the history, now Brother Watson, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know of any general that didn't count the cost without failing miserably. And here's the thing is, you know, you look through and maybe they did decide to go through and despite the odds charge forward, but I guarantee you they counted the cost. Do we mean business this morning? Is our mind made up for serving God regardless of the consequences? You know, the thing about it is that Christians ought to do that, but that should happen just once. we should get it settled and decide that, you know what? I am for God. I can risk for Him. I am willing to serve Christ. After that, the Christian should come to a place where it will say, you know what? I will take no thought for my life. I'll take no thought for my body. I'll take no thought whether I eat or drink or what I wear. I will take no thought of what happens tomorrow. You know what? Tomorrow, come what may. By the way, this is the exact opposite of worry. Here's the thing: is human nature is to worry, to fret, and I remember reading that verse. It talks about which of you can add a cubit to his stature. And anyways, I talked to the young people about this the other night, and what it was is I asked them, all right, listen, stand there and think really hard, and I want you to grow a cubit. And they kind of looked at me. You know what? We can't. There's so many times that we worry about things that, you know what, shouldn't be worried about. But the thing about it is we're supposed to take no thought for tomorrow. We're supposed to leave tomorrow with God. You know what? We should have already counted the cost and tried God. And we should have already figured out that, you know what, it pays to serve God. You know what? We should have already found that God can be trusted in the dark without knowing the future. I can serve Him without a guarantee. I can serve Him without having visible evidence of knowing that He will bring me out. Imagine a man asking a woman to marry him. But then, having to reconvince her 40 times before marriage that she should say yes. Imagine that woman saying to that man, well, maybe I should live with my mom instead. How about having to settle that matter time and time again? That would be very, very wearisome. And here's the thing, is they'd get old fast. You know, that woman to say, well, maybe I don't like the house you live in, or maybe, you know what, I would be better off at home. And to find out again and again that you'd have to convince her more and more that she should be with you instead of her parents. How could you live like that if after you did get married to her, that you had to convince her to stay with you, to live with you, to be true to you, and to wear your name? Well, you got to wonder, what does God go through when we do that to God? When, after we claim to be a Christian, we argue about everything that God tells us to do. How does God feel when a Christian says, yes, Lord, I will follow you if you lead. I will go where you want me to go. But you know what? Listen, when it comes down to it, I don't necessarily agree with you on thus and so and thus and so. And here's the thing, is, you know what, God? I know your word is the final authority, but I don't believe in this part, and I don't believe, you know what, this part probably applies to somebody else like Aaron. You know what? He's a good one. It all applies to him. It doesn't apply to me. Imagine an individual who is called by Christ's name that says, you know what, and starts to argue about everything, anything that's asked. And every chance we get to serve God, we put it under a microscope and we say, you know what? Well, God, is this really what you mean? Is this really what you've called me to do? And you know what? Why don't you convince me on why this is best? Why don't you tell me about how I need to get this done? And you know what? Maybe, you know what? I'm sure there's a better way. And God, you know what? Why don't we do thus and so? Imagine the thing. Have we counted the cost? Have we decided that God is able and that we're just going to say, God, my life is yours to control? Too many times we're like that woman. We're washy, wishy-washy. God, you know what? The Bible says we cannot serve God and mammon. Either we will love the one and hate the other, or we will cleave to the one and despise the other. And too many times we as Christians, we're like that wishy-washy woman. And here's the thing, is I'm not saying anything bad about women. Sometimes guys can be more wishy-washy than women. Right, Aaron? No, I'm joking. You're on the front row, buddy. And anyways, the thing about it is what it comes down to it. Listen, when God calls us to teach a Sunday school class, well, you know what, God, you know what? I'll do your will. And I believe your will is best, but you know what? Sunday school class teaching just isn't for me. Or you know what? I tell you what. Here's the thing is, you know what? I might have to show up to Sunday school
to teach a Sunday school class, or I might have to show up on time. Lord, you know, it's just not worth it. And, you know, here's the thing is, maybe we kind of count the cost too many times. You know what, I'd have to be to church almost every Sunday. You know, here's the thing is, yeah, no, and too many times. Now listen, God tells us to count the cost once, not every time He wants us to do something. Here's the thing is too many times we're a bunch of Christians who are never settled, and every time He tells us to do something, it has to be fought out time and time again. What I'm talking about is that every Christian should settle it once and for all. Lord, I will serve You regardless of the consequences. You know, the thing about it is we as Christians need to get to the point where we decide, you know what, Lord, whatever it costs me, whatever inconvenience I experience, Lord, I want Your will. No matter what authority I have to submit to, no matter what ideas I have to change, no matter what the direction that it takes, Lord, my life is Yours to control. And I have already counted the cost a long time ago, and I've decided that, you know what, whatever You have for me is worthwhile. Here's the thing, if it's Your will, you know what, Your will is better than my will. And too many times we decide that my will is what's best. Hey, listen, count the cost. Count the cost, get it decided, and get it over with. Just make up your mind that whatever comes tomorrow, you know what, God's will is what's best. As we go back to the Christmas story, let me call to the attention the key players in Christ's birth. Mary served God in this manner. Imagine one day as a virgin sat alone, the angel of the Lord appeared to her. I don't know how startled she must have been. Now here's the thing, it's no angels appeared to me, but if they did, I'd probably have the pea waddle and daylight scared out of me. And the thing about it is that, listen, you know, I don't know if she turned white, but the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." You know, the thing about it is that she was one that God counted worthy. The Bible says, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. In his kingdom there shall be no end." But Mary asked the question, how can that be? You know, the thing about it is that she wasn't married yet. She didn't know a man. And the angel answered, "The Lord," or "the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God." Do you suppose that Mary pondered it? You know, here's the thing is, I don't know what she might have thought, but imagine becoming a mother in that society without being married. I'm sure she thought about the shame that she must encounter. I'm sure she thought about, what am I going to tell everybody when they ask? They know Joseph and I aren't married. Did Mary weigh the whole thing? Personally, I believe that it's found in the Word of God. "Be it unto me according to thy word." You know what Mary said? "I've already counted the cost. Lord, if it's your will, I don't understand it. But you know what? I've counted the cost. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to know what you're doing. All I got to know is that's your will. And so you know what? I'm good with it. I counted the cost a long time ago." The sad part about it is too many of us, we count the cost time and time and time again. And so here's the thing is that God sent Elizabeth to talk with Mary. Elizabeth explained, "Blessed art thou among women." See, here's the thing is, Mary didn't have to fight it out. Mary didn't have to weigh things out. She had already counted the cost. She didn't say, "Well, let's wait here. Let's see. All right. Tell you what. Why don't you tell me how this is going to work out before I agree to it?" See, the thing about it is that she knew about the open and public shame, but you know what? She decided that, you know what? I've already counted the cost. Your will is what's best. Joseph disregarded the shame and misunderstanding to take Mary and rear Jesus. Joseph loved Mary. And I can't imagine how troubling this would be. You would be too. And so here's the thing, if your bride-to-be, the one you fell in love with, the one you had googly eyes on, And here's the thing is, you realize that, you know what? Here's the thing is, I don't see anything in the Bible that talks about that Mary told him ahead of time. Imagine this. You're engaged to somebody and they start to become pregnant and you realize it was not you. Imagine how distraught that would be. And so here's the thing is that she was a noble girl. The Bible says she was of the house and lineage of David. And though poor and poverty stricken, you know, the thing about it is that out of this world, she was chosen to be the mother of Jesus. You don't think that Joseph loved her too? You know, the thing about it is that the Bible talks about how he considered putting away privily. But you know what? Joseph finally could see that it was God's doing. And here's the thing is that Mary had done no wrong. But you know, the thing about it is this one night in his sleep, in a troubled slumber, the angel of the Lord came unto him and said, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." You know, the thing about it is the Bible doesn't really say a whole lot about Joseph. I'll be honest with you, I kind of wonder if maybe he passed away into Jesus' manhood, because after the age of 12, roughly, for Jesus, Joseph wasn't really talked about, although Joseph was a great man of God. But one day he woke out of a slumber, and he knew within himself, it is of God. I will not fear the future. You know what? Tomorrow can hold whatever it wants. This is of God. I've already weighed the cost and got it settled. And listen, when it comes down to it, whatever comes tomorrow, whatever happens the following day, this is of God. And you know what? My decision is, God's will is for me to care for her. And so bless God, that's what I'm going to do. And you know, the thing about it is I can't imagine the strength that took. I can't imagine for Mary and Joseph to go through all that. But here's the thing is, what it came down to is, they counted the cost. And so you know what? They had no regard for the consequence. He took no thought. He just did what God said. And so here's the thing is that we move on to the next key players of the Christmas story. The wise men did not hesitate to spend money and time for God. But see, the wise men traveled from the east to see baby Jesus. You know, they had read in the book of Daniel about the coming Messiah. And here's the thing is, they had only had the Old Testament. And so imagine this. You know, here's the thing is, we have a privilege that we have the entire Word of God here in our laps. And by the way, I wonder how many of us read that and fall in love with the Bible. And we ought to, you know, I ran across a lady just this week. And anyways, early on in the week, and she was telling me about how much she loved the Bible. And you know what? She just couldn't make it through a day without the Bible. But you know what? That was awesome to hear, because this is the attitude that we ought to have. We ought to love the Scriptures. We ought to have the Scriptures to be a vital part of our lives. And so here's the thing is, this is our instruction book. This is our love letter from God. But anyways, going back to the wise men. You know, they were watching and they were ready. So when the star appeared, they knew it was his star and the evidence they'd been waiting for. The Holy Spirit had told them the Savior, the King of the Jews, had been born. You know, here's the thing is, the Bible doesn't talk about anything about saying their goodbyes to the family. It doesn't say who they put in charge of their businesses. Here's the thing is, these were wealthy individuals. They didn't say what words they said to their wives and how they said their goodbyes to their family or how long they'd been gone. But arrangements were made. They mounted their animals and they went towards Babylon, some 500 or 600 miles, the best I could figure out. You know, riding across the desert, crossing the River Jordan. Here's the thing is imagine having gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, yesterday I went down to Columbus, and we were in some pretty shady parts of Columbus. And anyways, I'll be honest with you, I got a little nervous. And I'm like, kids, make sure you lock the door and everybody stay close. And, you know, here's the thing is that imagine this. You know, it was not unheard of to have robbers and to have murderers along the way. And here's the thing is, you know what? They didn't count the cost. They took their gifts and they just headed out. And but anyways, and they were asked, they inquired, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. You know, the thing about it is that they traveled all that way just to see the baby Jesus. You know, when it comes down to it, how much have we counted the cost, the expenses of walking with God? Can you imagine such a journey with no car, no train, or no paved roads? Only animals to ride. I wonder how many of us would come to church this morning if we had to saddle up a horse and ride it into church. You know, back in the day, back in my lineage, a few generations, I have a circuit riding preacher. And I can't imagine being a preacher and have to preach a sermon and get done with the church service, go out to the horse, saddle up and ride to the next church service and ride a circuit just to have services in the area. And here's the thing, imagine having to saddle up a horse and come to church and having to, you know, some people imagine riding a horse from Sycamore. And you know what? It's not a bad drive in a vehicle, but you know what? It's a good drive. Jeremy, your distance is good too. I mean, how would you like to ride a horse? You're probably used to it anyway. You ride horses. And here's the thing is that imagine having to do that. And so here's the thing imagine counting the cost, going through nations in strange language. Can you imagine the money involved? But here's the thing is, you know what? They brought to the Savior gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they had no thought for the morrow because they served God with no reserve. Next is the shepherds. The shepherds disregarded the consequences to see the baby. You know, the thing about it is the Bible says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, who shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And so here's the thing is, you know what? The shepherds, where'd they leave their sheep? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. Who was watching them? I don't know. I don't know if they left the rump behind. Aaron, you're watching the sheep. but Brother Watson is helping you. I'm just joking. But anyways, the thing about it is that, listen, when it comes down to it, who is watching their sheep? I don't know. Because you know what? It wasn't important. What was important was the Christ child. What was important was the will of God. Here's the thing, as the shepherds had counted the cost, they said, you know what? Here's the thing, as if all the sheep are still there when we get back, great. You know what? If a wolf has got two or three, you know what? Hey, listen, what's important was God's will. How many times have we counted the cost? Think about this, the three Hebrews. I mentioned them in Sunday school. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here's the thing is, Nebuchadnezzar had the image made of him, and basically when all the music played, the drum sets and everything else, I imagine the kind of music that they played was probably the kind of music you'd hear out in the world a lot. But here's the thing is, when it played, everybody was supposed to bow. And somebody was a tattletale. You know, there's always one in every group. And it seems like, here's the thing is, nobody likes a tattletale. But one of the kids raised their hand. I don't know if they were testifying to being a tattletale or not. But anyways, here's the thing is that, listen, when it comes down to it, there was a tattletale. And they hot-footed it to the king and said, you know what, there's three Hebrews that weren't bowing. King brought him before him. Here's the thing is, you know what? I like your answer. Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. And here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, basically they told the king, hey, listen, I counted the cost. I'd rather serve God than you. And listen, when it comes down to it, listen, God's rewards are greater than your rewards. And you know what? God's punishments are greater than your punishment. And so get this. I counted the cost a long time ago, and I decided that, you know what, O King? Hey, listen, I didn't even give it any thought. Because here's the thing, is God, the Bible says that I'm only supposed to worship God. I'm not supposed to worship money. I'm not supposed to worship a king. I'm not supposed to worship possessions. I'm not supposed to worship anything. So here's the thing, is you know what? I counted it, you know, a long time ago. My mind hasn't changed. And you know what? Hey, listen. There's no contest. You can play the music till the cows come home. We're not going to bow. And so here's the thing, is when it comes down to it, that listen, the Bible says that they were grabbed up, and you know what, the music played, they were grabbed up and they were thrown in. The mighty men that threw them into the fiery furnace died. And you know what? The only thing on them that burned was the ropes tying their hands. And so here's the thing, is the Bible says that the form of the fourth was as the Son of God. They're walking around in the midst of the furnace. The Bible says there wasn't even a smoke smell on them. You know, here's the thing is, that's pretty amazing. It seems like you go into the home of someone that smokes, and if you're there any length of time, it gets on you. But you know what? God shielded them from everything. They didn't even smell like smoke. And so here's the thing is, you know what? Three Hebrew children counted the cost. And Daniel counted the cost, even though he was thrown into the lion's den. Peter and John obeyed. And you know what? They counted the cost. You know, the thing about it is we need to make our decision permanent. I won't take it back. The Jews had a rule that was a commandment in the Old Testament that if a man had a Jewish slave, after 7 years, he could be freed. But after 7 years, you know what? If that slave decided, you know what? I have it good. I'm staying in your household. They would take that slave to the doorpost, and they would drive, the servant would put his ear to the doorpost, and the master would take an awl and push it through, making a hole in his ear. And you know what? Then he became a slave forever. Exodus chapter 21 outlines this, the first part in that. But you know what? He couldn't do. Once that hole was in his ear, he couldn't say, you know what? Just joking. Tell you what, things aren't so great now. You know, here's the thing. Imagine the cost. Because here's the thing is, you know what? You might be a slave for somebody in the first 7 years, treat you awesome. And then all of a sudden they start getting backslid. And you know what? Maybe they start to get to be an honorary cuss and they're walking away from God. And you know what? Maybe things aren't so great. And once you made the decision to be that person's slave, it was done. That hole was punched in your ear. It was done. It was over with. You couldn't count the cost anymore. But here's the thing is, you know what? I am so glad that we serve a God that changes not, who, you know what? God is love. And you know what? The thing about it is that all throughout the years, He is powerful. He is loving. He is just. He changes not. And the thing about it is listen, we need to count the cost. We need to be like that slave and walk up to the doorpost and put our ear on the doorpost and say, you know what? Take that awl and punch it through my ear. You know what? I've counted the cost. I'm yours forever. Whatever it costs, whatever the consequences, whatever comes my way, Lord, I am yours. You are my master. And you know what? The thing about it is that, listen, all throughout the Bible says that, you know what? We're supposed to be servants unto God. And here's the thing is we ought to say, Lord, you know what? I am your servant. I am humble. I don't have a will of my own. I don't have to understand what's going on. I don't have to be convinced time and time again. I don't have to try and impress my will on you. Hey, listen, when it comes down to it, I've placed my ear on the doorpost. The awl has been punched through. You know what? I've counted the cost. I've considered the consequences. And bless God, you know what? I am yours. It's done and over with. We need to commit ourselves to God like that bond servant. The wise men would have never come to the east or had any thought or worried about their... You know, here's the thing is, the wise men would never come from the east had they worried about their families or their stuff, possessions behind. The shepherd would have never left their sheep and come to the baby Jesus if they were constantly counting the consequences. Some never get their minds enough on God to forget their sheep. Some never get their minds enough on God to forget where they should eat. That is why Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 4, "Lift up your eyes and look into the fields, for they are white already to harvest." In other words, get your eyes off the food. Get your eyes off possessions. Here's the thing, is too many times Christians around the world, we're worried about possessions. We're worried about the paint on the walls. Here's the thing, is the church I grew up in, there are several people that left the church because the pastor painted the outside of the church blue. Well, I think another color. Here's the thing is, you know what? That's a carnal Christian that you know what? I'll be honest with you. They're worried about tomorrow. They're worried about food. They're worried about, when it comes down to it, hey, listen, we ought to be concerned about lost souls. We ought to be concerned about lifting up those that need lift up. Hey, listen, we need to stop counting the cost and just decide, you know what? Bless God. You know what? God's will is all that I'm worried about. I heard a story about a cowboy. He rode beside a fellow one night, seeing his horse had such an awesome gait. He talked to him and he says, listen, let's trade horses. The guy was like, no questions asked. No questions asked. Let's just trade horses. So they took off their saddles. They swapped. Rode off. Opposite directions. The cowboy that suggested it soon found out that he was riding a blind horse. But one who had didn't question any move. He trusted the rider to guide him. Later on, that guy asked, "Did you have any regrets on trading horses?" He said, "No, that's the best horse I've ever had." Because he didn't question, he didn't hesitate. He just went where I told him to. And by the way, that's the way we need to treat God. You know, the thing about it is that we don't need to question. If God calls us to the mission field, should be, yes, Lord. God calls us to teach a class, yes, Lord. God calls us to serve God as a deacon or a trustee. Yes, Lord. God calls us to do something in a church, maybe the ministry to a ministry, and maybe someone is passing the baton. Yes, Lord. The thing about it is you know what? God can use someone who just says, you know what? I counted the cost a long time ago. And you know what? When it comes down to it, God wants it. I've already decided a long time ago that God's will is what's best. So this morning, let me challenge you, as we study the Christmas story, think about all those who made the story possible. Yes, ultimately, Christ is the one who Christmas is centered around. He is the reason for the season. But you know what? God used people who counted the cost and got it settled. Here in a moment, we're going to pray and have an invitation. Let me ask you, if you haven't counted the cost, this morning is the time. Let me tell you, there's nothing like walking with God. If you're not saved, let me tell you, you don't have to count the cost. There's nothing in this world that can please you. Let me tell you, there's nothing like a walk with God. There's nothing like being born in the kingdom of God. But listen, if you're still on the fence on whether or not to yield all to God, and let me tell you, it's worth it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for each individual that was used by you to make the Christmas story possible. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We can't just thank you enough for Jesus Christ coming to this earth to die on the cross. But thank you for all those people that were willing, who had counted the cost a long time ago and were used greatly by you and who we read about even now. Dear Heavenly Father, here in a moment when the invitation is come, Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us if we haven't got it settled, if there's one here that isn't saved and doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that you help them to get that settled. And for those of us that are saved, I pray that you help us to count the cost and decide today that, you know what, whatever you want, whatever way you want to do it, whatever comes our way, I'm not going to think about tomorrow. I'm not going to count the cost. I'm not going to worry and fret about tomorrow. I'm just going to serve you today in whatever you have. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name.